Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
The news of the day is that Von Miller is under investigation for alleged domestic abuse, and it seems to be tied in with his ex-fiancee, who he also had an insane text exchange with that was out there, if that's to believe to be true. He was supposed to host the pregame show on Nickelodeon and was dropped from the pregame show before the Saints Bears, the Nickelodeon broadcast. We have reached out to Nickelodeon. I can't believe I'm saying that, but we have reached out to them. We have not heard back. We're awaiting any kind of word in terms of specifically why he was dropped.
We'll see if SpongeBob calls you back.
We'll check it out. Harvey Steinberg is representing Vaughn. That's according to Adam Schefter. And here we go. So just to reset here a little bit, Nate, what's your reaction to the news of the day?
Super bummer all around. First and foremost, for Vaughn and whoever's involved in this, that's the main concern. It's whoever's involved in this investigation, hopefully they're okay. And that's the first thing on my mind. As far as the Broncos go, they're going to have to wait and see what the facts are and how this thing plays out. But, of course, it's not a good look for Vaughn. I mean, Vaughn seems to be a man who's in turmoil, and he seems to be a guy whose life is very complicated right now. And sometimes when you're at the pinnacle and you're the superstar, things start to get very complicated. And Vaughn needs to simplify his life. And I think that's what he tried to do last year by going away in the off season and getting back to his roots, and he had some epiphanies. And
what do you think is complicating Vaughn's life?
Fame, money. You know, the kind of imminent.
Well, he's been famous and had money for a long time, though.
The imminent fall.
The imminent fall. The inevitable fall.
Yes, imminent, inevitable. However you want to call it.
Well, it's two different things. Is a fall inevitable?
Yeah, for an athlete, absolutely.
How so?
Father Time is undefeated. You've heard that one. So,
you're talking.
What I'm saying is, he's 32.
Inevitable fall from your physical abilities.
Correct.
Okay. Not an inevitable fall from good person,
grace.
A bad person, right?
No.
But
however, there are dark forces that start to seduce you the longer you're in this business if you're not tethered to a good, healthy relationship at home. Because you do get pulled into all these kind of salacious, exciting parties and things and opportunities and people that can seduce you. I've done it myself, you know, and the longer you play, the better you get at the football stuff. You get that dialed in, and the more you explore the other side of that, which is the trappings of fame and the opportunities that are there for you out there. And if you're not in a loving relationship, if you're single, basically, and you're out there doing your thing, you can get pulled into some dark places. And I'm not saying that's what Vaughn's doing. I don't know how Vaughn lives his life, but it seems as if he's in a bad place.
You have certainly been around superstars in the NFL who have made a lot of money. You've been around. You've been in those circles.
Yeah.
What's it like?
Well, just like I said, you get a lot of things offered to you. You get a lot of people around you who may not have your best intentions in mind, who may be wanting to leech off of you.
You've seen that. You've seen,
of course,
people.
Of course.
It's like, why is this guy here? Why is that guy here? Who are these people?
Yeah. And, you know,
because on a day, I'll tell you this, the whole concept of the meritocracy of a locker room, I actually do believe in that in an NFL locker room. I've been around them for a long time, and I've seen relationships with the athletes inside of the locker room. And, Nate, I get it. There's a reason why a special teams guy inside the locker room could be best friends with the star quarterback. I've seen it. But I've also seen the other side of it, too, when you get outside of the locker room and you're in a different social circle. And I'm like, ah, I don't know if that's still, that relationship still makes sense right there. Because the superstar lives, does live in a different world. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But he, like Vaughn, there are no, you know, Vaughn doesn't have a contemporary in the locker room as far as the amount of money and the amount of fame and the success. So he is alone in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has buddies that he trusts and hangs out with, I imagine. But yeah, it is kind of isolating, I imagine. Vaughn probably is sometimes lonely because it's lonely at the top.
So we're doing some psychoanalysis here. So.
I don't want to go too far down that road with Vaughn, but I'm just talking.
Because if you're saying you're lonely, naturally, I'd say if you're lonely, you probably want to surround yourself with some people if you're lonely. I think that would be a natural thing to assume.
I don't mean just people. You can be lonely and be surrounded by people.
Mm.
You can be, I mean, I think Drake talks. I'm not a Drake fan, by the way. I don't like Drake's music at all.
You don't like Tuscan Leather?
I don't like Drake, but Drake talks about and these feelings about being out at a club. Look, when you're famous and you're rich, you go to these clubs and all these people want to party with you.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful women end up at your table.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around and you think, who are all these people? Mm. They all want to party with me and they're all having the times of their lives, but I don't know any of them. And I feel sad and I feel lonely. And that's a reality. The sheen wears off of those moments. And I imagine when you're 32 years old, it's worn off to an extent. So where are you rooted? Where do you go to feel at home, to feel someone you could trust? And we don't know if Vaughn has that. We don't know. And again, I don't want to go too far down the road with that.
Yeah.
But it's a reality for people in that life, that the things that entice you, that you go and do, they don't always fulfill you, and they can kind of lead you to a dark place.
The fall is inevitable.
Yes.
Mm. Eesh.
But that doesn't mean you can't pull yourself out of it and create some perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the types of events that would do that for Vaughn. Vaughn is probably having, you know, a soul searching type of experience.
You
right?
know, it is interesting for most of us who play sports. For most of us who play sports, the reality check is actually college. I think the vast majority of us who play sports, as long as you kind of stick with it, the vast majority, you get to like a varsity level at some sport one way or the other. Now, how much you play at the high school varsity level, I don't know. Who knows? But the vast majority of us that want to compete in sports probably make it on some team, you know, at the varsity level, right? But are you really good enough to play sports in college? And you know what, Nate? The answer for like 99% of us is no. Very few people, even though it seems like there's a million kids that, you know, play college sports, the reality of the situation is actually very, very few. You know, so you get to a college team, right? And all of a sudden, every kid on the college team is basically the best or one of the best players from their high school team. Meaning that the reality check for most of us comes at about 18 years of age. Like, that's it. You know, it's not that you have to stop playing sports. You can compete in sports the rest of your life. But competing in sports on a competitive level where it matters, for most of us, is done when you graduate high school. And then you go to, you know, adult league this, or do play in a rec league that, or, you know, whatever it might be. So you could see the further that goes in life, the harder it may be to sort of, you know, be back in touch with reality. I'm sure you had a reality check at some point.
Yeah, but it doesn't come until the end. In the end, you don't know it's over when it's over. It takes you actually another year to realize it's over.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, Vaughn may be different. John Elway, the guys who actually say, I'm retiring.
Right.
It's over, and they walk away. But
but they always cry.
They always
cry.
And,
like,
know,
John Elway, Peyton Manning cried.
Well, because in their mind, they wanted another year.
I felt like crying. My last high school baseball game, that was it.
Right.
It was over.
But for the majority of athletes, you don't have that moment where you hold a press conference and retire. What happens is you get cut, and then you're trying to get back in the league for a year. You get a couple workouts. Your agent tells you stay in shape. Mm. You might get signed to a team and then get cut. It's a slow burn exit. And the same thing that made you great on the way in, meaning never believing someone when they tell you you can't do it,
mm-hmm.
makes it harder on the back end when they tell you it's over. You tell them no.
All right, well, what's the latest with the Bond Store? We're following it. We'll have the latest news for you all afternoon long. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
All right, Nate Jackson in for Tyler today. Let's go to Julian. Thanks for calling, Julian. What's going on?
You know, I'd like to just say that it's easy to hit somebody when they're down, but as a team and growing up in sports and playing, you know, football and baseball, just knowing that you are a team, you know, we got to come together around Von Miller and support one of the best players that we have right now during this time. As well as John
wait,
Elway.
Who's we?
We as in the fans. As in the football.
Do you think Von's not being supported by the fans?
I'm sure that there's some naysayers out there. However, you know, when someone's down, they want to keep them down. And it's just easier to do that than to try to help somebody up.
Okay. All right.
I mean, as far as our quarterback, I mean, with the quarterback as well, we got to support our quarterback. With the GM that's coming in, he's coming into a lot of noise. We need to support him as well.
All right, you realize that Drew Locke is, listen, I don't dislike Drew Locke. I like Drew Locke. But Drew Locke had the worst completion percentage of any quarterback in the NFL and led the league in interceptions, I believe.
Yeah, but Drew Locke has heart. Drew Locke is a great quarterback, but he's young. He's a kid.
All right, hold on. Well, yep. Hold on a second. You realize the four remaining quarterbacks in the AFC are all 25 years or younger. You realize that, right, Julian? So don't be talking about age, all right? Drew Locke is like the same age as those guys. In terms of what makes Drew a great quarterback, what does make, in your opinion, Drew a great quarterback? I'm not saying he's not, but in your eyes, what makes him a great quarterback?
What will make him a great quarterback is time. What will halt him, hinder him, is the adolescence that he carries. He needs to grow up a little bit, period.
All right. Thanks, Julian. Appreciate the call. Sometimes I think fans just say he's a great player because he's wearing my favorite team's colors, and that's why he's a great player, which is fine. Hey, man, you should love your guys.
Support is important for a team. Fan support. I actually do think positivity and fan support helps people play better.
Okay.
Than negativity. So I think there is something to a positive.
How'd Garrett Bowles do it then?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, who was not critical of Garrett Bowles? Pretty impressive what he turned around, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, the fans were on him. His teammates were on him. Actually, I think Garrett was pretty popular amongst the coaches and the teammates because I think everybody knew he really was trying.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't click in quite as quick as everybody had hoped to. But I mean, you know, listen, man, the Broncos drafted him. They did not extend the fifth-year option on him. They really challenged him. And most first-round guys who don't get the fifth-year option exercise on them, they're gone the next year. In fact, out of 59 guys, I believe there was – this is Richie's expertise here. I believe there was only one player who actually did what Garrett Bowles, and Garrett became number two. Did I interrupt you? I feel like
No, not at all. Apparently, we got some texters talking about Vaughn's girlfriend posted something about the incident
recently.
Yes,
Well, let's
yeah, maybe we should let that kind of
marinate. So she this afternoon has put something out there.
Correct.
About the investigation going into Vaughn.
Correct, in an Instagram story.
All right. Well, I'll let. Oh my God.
But
do you have the details of there?
He sent me the screenshot. I can read it to you if you want.
It's
a sunnier outlook.
All right, so it's what she's saying. Like, do we know it's her Instagram?
I don't know.
Okay, so why don't we just wait a second and sort of.
I think it is, but I don't know.
All right, Kevin and Richie, can you guys flesh that out a little bit? If she said something. And it's got to do with it, but we got to confirm it was her Instagram, blah, 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 blah. All right. Let's go to Peter. Hi, Peter. You're on the fan. What do you got, Peter?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to disagree with that previous caller about supporting Von Miller. I don't know. I think it's just about that time. I mean, I think Von, and I'm sure a lot of Broncos fans do, but we thank him for everything he's done. But I think right now is the perfect time, considering his age and everything that's going on. I think it would be just easier to just, you know, get as much as we can for him right now, as in like trade value.
Oh, well, there's nothing there though, Peter. It's zero would be trade value.
You don't think we could do anything?
No, and here's why. This is nothing even against Vaughn. It's about his situation.
Right.
Every NFL team would understand the hit the Broncos have to take. This happens with players all the time, Peter. When clubs know that other clubs are in a sticky situation, they know that the club in the sticky situation just has to release the player. So they're not going to, I mean, man, very rarely would they move up because they'd have to take on the existing contract. And nobody would want to take on Vaughn's existing contract. The first thing that would happen, if it were to happen, was a renegotiation. So most teams would just say, well, forget it. He'll just be released anyways, and we'll start from there. No, when you trade a guy, Nate, it's not an insult. To get traded, by the way. It means you have value to another team. But that window, when you have value to another team, it can be relatively short. Other than that, you end up, you know, being a free agent and you're on 1-2 year deals and you bounce around and then, you know.
I was traded to the Broncos
for
a conditional 7th round pick that they didn't have to give up because I didn't make the 53. I made the practice squad. So I was traded for a bag of peanuts.
So you literally, not to be a jerk here.
Not to be a jerk.
Got traded for nothing.
Yeah.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, well, we have a development in the Von Miller story, and we feel confident that there was an Instagram post from his ex-fiancée who was involved with all this stuff. So go ahead, Nate, you got it right there in front of you. Well, what do you got?
Yeah, so this is from Megan Denise's verified account, Instagram, and it says, in light of recent media reports regarding my relationship with Von, I feel that I need to address a couple of things. First and foremost, at no point in our relationship was there any type of physical abuse or violence by Vaughn whatsoever. For anyone to say otherwise or to speculate such is wrong. With regards to my social media posts, a part was misconstrued and taken out of context. I do regret making a private situation public and in doing so bringing unwanted attention to both myself and Vaughn. Vaughn and I are excited to be welcoming our baby into the world and are committed to raising our child with love and compassion together as a family. Sincerely, Megan Denise, with a heart.
Okay.
So there you go.
The end. What else is there to investigate?
So we don't know.
It's a
the whole investigation story. We don't know what the heck is going on there.
I don't know. Now, after reading that, why is there an investigation into what? What else is there? I mean, I guess you can have an investigation to find. I mean, I hear that. She's the focus of it. She puts that statement out. That's it. The end. It really just does sound like a couple of people who have a relationship that got into some form of disagreement. She is saying she regrets putting what she put out in public. She's saying that there was nothing going on. I mean, I'm left at this point, in all honesty, seriously, I'm left at this point wondering why the Parker police even commented at all about any kind of investigation.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Why in the world would they? I mean, hey, man, Nine News broke the story. Good for Nine News. You know, they just did their jobs. They got a tip on something. They called the police department. The police confirmed it.
It's just unfortunate that has to all happen, you know?
Well, what part's unfortunate?
That it has to be turned into a national story because it's on ESPN.
Well, yeah, because the Parker police confirmed it.
That's what I'm saying. So the chain of events that leads to that, everyone didn't need to say that.
I don't know why they did. I have no idea why the Parker police would say anything aside from we don't comment on any kind of case. I really don't know. I told, when we had Troy on, remember I asked him, I said, I just do not remember. I've done this business a long time, Nate. I could probably count on one hand the times that we were reporting or talking about an investigation happening. I mean, charges, yeah. An investigation? Well, first of all, you don't know. You wouldn't know that that's going on.
Whoever with the Parker police is responsible for releasing that information.
I really don't know what they're thinking.
Should be held to account.
Yeah, because look, I mean, you got Vaughn's ex-fiance. What's her name? Denise? No.
Yeah.
Denise?
Megan Denise.
Sorry. Megan Denise. You got her basically. What? There's no investigation left to do. In my opinion, based on that. This feels to me, right now, this feels to me somebody else has some sort of axe to grind. That's not her, and certainly not Vaughn, and I don't know who it is. But this really feels like there's something else happening here.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. When you're up at the top,
well, I'll tell
people
you this,
come
man.
For you,
I'll,
man.
I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. If there are no charges filed, if there are no charges filed, and I doubt there will be after hearing that, I could be wrong, but if there are no charges filed, the fact that this got out there in public, I actually do feel bad for Vaughn on that. I do. That's not fair. That's actually kind of ridiculous.
So. We got a text from a police officer. It says, just so you guys know, domestic violence in the state of Colorado is a mandatory arrest. If the officer has probable cause that Vaughn did anything related to domestic violence, he would have already been arrested.
Yeah, well, there was a charge of domestic abuse or something. I heard domestic abuse. Maybe there's a difference between domestic abuse and I suppose domestic abuse could be a verbal thing. You know, Will Parks was investigated for that.
So could it have been text messages?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. What can I tell you?
You're not?
Definitely not.
You'd be a good lawyer, D-Mac.
I have a lot of respect for the law. I have a lot of respect for lawyers.
Objection!
I know. I love lawyers. I mean, it's weird for somebody to say they love lawyers, but I've, trust me, in my second life, no doubt about it. I've often said, too, if I were to have done anything, like when I was right out of college, I would have got a law degree. I would advise anybody to get a law degree if they want to get in the world of sports. Look how much it comes up. It's ridiculous. But whatever. I'm too lazy and too old now.
You're not that old, man.
Sheesh. It's a mindset. Cameo. Hi, Cameo. You're on the drive.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up?
It's all good. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, or should I say a comparison of our current quarterback with another quarterback in their rookie year. So our current quarterback, our previous quarterback had a quarterback rating in his rookie year of 54.9%, right? Mm-hmm. And then his second year, he had a 67.8%. So now our current quarterback, throughout his two-year career, essentially, he has a 79.1% quarterback rating. And I say that to say this, man, we got to give him time, man, because the Denver Broncos' greatest quarterback of all time, John Elway,
yeah,
he didn't come in the league, you know, firing it up. You know, he had more interceptions than touchdowns in his rookie season. And then his second year, he only threw three more touchdowns than he did picks. So, you know, and this is a peculiar situation because no offseason and so forth. And I understand all teams went through that too. But come on, man, new coordinator, all of these things have taken place. Youngest team in the league, I think we really need to take account for all of that. Now, if Justin Fields is available at 9, snatch him up, of course. But if he's not, man, we got a lot of problems.
All right, I appreciate it, Cam. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
And I do want to say real quick,
yeah,
I love the show.
Hey!
I listen to the show every single day.
Hey!
D-Mac,
yay!
My kids know you. You know, and I love to hate you, man.
Me too, you know, man. Me too, Cameo. Like
you know, Cameo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, and when I hear Cameo, you know what I'm saying,
yes,
right?
Sir.
You know, come on, turn
word
it up a
up.
Little. Word up. Come on. Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. You got your own theme music.
That word,
all
that
right,
word
thank
up.
You, Cameo. I mean, the dude's name is Cameo.
That's great.
Oh.
Look, he makes the point. Oh, okay, D-Mac. I didn't know you could sing so well.
I can sing like this.
All right, let's get into the quarterback stuff and what George Payton has to do. And it's Friday, and this Vaughn story, I think it feels like it's risen up. And it's going to go away just as quick. So let's hope that's the case. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Jackson in for Tyler.
Yeah. Okay, Tyler.
Ah, man, I don't know this yet.
You don't know. You'll never will, D-Mac.
Oh.
He has the instrumental here. If there were words, you still wouldn't know it, but it's the Loonies. I got 5 on it.
How would I know that?
You wouldn't.
How do you do?
How do I do?
Yeah, how do you know?
Because I love rap music, and this is one of the greatest rap songs of all time.
Oh, okay. It is?
Yeah.
So I don't know one of the greatest rap songs of all time?
I don't think you know any of the greatest rap songs of all time.
Of course I do.
Well, what's in your mind, what's one of them?
The hip, the hop, the hippity hop.
Okay.
That was the original one.
You're aging yourself a little bit there.
Well, you said of all time. Dr. Dre's got a few. Jay-Z's good. I like Tuscan Leather. I don't know. You want to hate on Drake? You can hate on Drake, but Eminem's all right. I don't know, man. Fab Five Freddy.
There you go.
The old school.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, Joy and Pain. I'm gonna go back a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit?
We're going to talk about Run DMC.
All right.
Anyways.
Cool, man. Thanks for playing
that. I thought you were about to freestyle there.
Nah. Did you want me to?
No, not really.
I didn't think so.
No, get rid of it. right. Let me go back a little bit with you. It's always fun to revisit topics that we've talked about with a fresh new voice. What did you think of the George Payton hire?
I like it. I mean, he's a very qualified candidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was a highly sought-after candidate. And many people thought the Broncos were going to be left with the scraps and were were the least desirable job opening out there. Well, George Payton proved otherwise by accepting the offer to come here, and I think it shows you that the Broncos are still the cream of the crop when it comes.
It was a bad place to come to.
Some people were.
Well, okay. You're inferring it was me. I didn't say that.
I didn't say it was you.
Okay. Why don't you just name names? What do you mean, some people? What are you?
Some people, man.
Who?
Some people on the radio, man.
Who? If it's not our station, then fine. Leave it alone. But
it's
our station.
Your partner.
Tyler.
All
right,
course.
Say his name.
I just did.
All right.
Tyler?
What'd Tyler say?
Well, he said that the Broncos were not going to get their guy. They were going to get their last choice because he went through every team and the Broncos, in his mind, were the least desirable job because right. of the ownership issue.
We did have that conversation.
And you agreed with him, D-Mac.
Well, I said there's an easy way to get over that. Money.
It's not only about the money. This guy has turned down offers in the past. What do you mean, come on?
Come on.
No, I, what do you mean, come on?
It's, all right. I hesitantly say, because I know it was made a big deal of, that they're closer to Los Angeles, and they're from L.A., or his wife's from L.A., and somehow, tell me about it. I said I'm rolling my eyes on it, but... That was something that was said. I get it. Hey, man, what do you think? I love Colorado. I love Denver. You do, too. Why are you here?
That's what I'm telling you.
I get it, man. I don't want to live in Detroit or Cleveland or Buffalo again.
Well, part of what makes you love Denver is the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, like, the thing was, of all the available GM places, Denver's the least desirable. It's like, what? I mean, Houston's a great city. What are the other GM play? Carolina? I don't know. I guess I really wouldn't want to go there. It really was about what Denver had to offer for George Payton was control and a lot of money. And when the report came out from Mike Florio that they were looking for a candidate who would eventually ascend into John Elway's, not just GM role, but president of football role, I paid attention to that. And then when you looked at the pool of candidates, our guy Mike Kliss told me right off the bat, Mike was all over it. George Payton was the number one guy, even at the very, very beginning. Okay. Now, why would George Payton want it? Because John Elway is going to butt out. He is not going to meddle. I promise you that. I have so many indications behind the scenes of that being the case. I 1,000% believe them when they say that. So you don't even have to wait out a year. You know what you got to wait out if you're George Payton? Nothing. John's done it. John has made the last big decision he will make. John is getting $6 million reportedly as basically what an amazing time of John Elway from 1983 to this point. You get $6 million for that. A pretty nice going away present.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. So the 6-year deal to me is significant too.
Yep.
Because John Elway had been signing 5-year contracts. And I'm dying to know what the financial details are because I suspect the first year of salary for George Payton will be, relatively, a lot for me, but relatively low. And then when John's gone and his salary is gone, I'm guessing George Payton's money is going to skyrocket. And also, how do you survive an ownership shift? Whether it's a sale or a shift to Brittany, you guarantee the contract. That's it. And all of a sudden, here we go.
Yeah.
And by the way, every single team that has a GM opening is a bad situation for some reason.
Right.
Why is there an opening?
I get that.
Hey, we just won the Super Bowl. The GM's retiring. Why'd you come on in?
But don't act like people haven't spent the last several months talking about how horrible the Broncos organization is being run top to bottom and how bad their prospects are. I don't think that's accurate. And I don't think the ownership kerfuffle is quite as dire.
Do you believe the Broncos are a sleeping giant? That's what George Payton said. They're a sleeping giant. Do you believe that?
Yeah, for sure.
Why?
Well, because this is a winning organization that's been to the Super Bowl 8 times. That's tied for second among all other NFL teams. That their ownership, although they're struggling right now to figure out what the deal is, they still treat everybody very, very well. They still provide the resources for their team to win. They still care about everyone in the Bronco family. They still are active and have the type of footprint in the community and the type of fan support that is ideal if you want to come to a team. You talk to players who come and play for the Broncos. They love it here.
Mm-hmm.
People who have come, players who have come here, even in the last 4 years, Shelby Harris talks about it. Mm-hmm. He loves it here.
Right.
And they've been losing.
Right.
So when they turn it around, imagine how great it's going to be. And they are going to turn it around because of all those reasons I just described. They do things the right way. They take care of the players. They take care of the employees who work for the organization. They have an amazing fan support. Look at all the players who used to play here who come back and live. It's a great place to play and a great place to live. And for that reason, the Broncos are a sleeping giant. Now, that said,
I'm agreeing with you. I think they could be, too.
Yeah, that said, there has to be some improvement, and that's why George Payton is brought in. So I think they made the necessary changes to get this ship righted. And then it comes down to really just kind of working hard and doing the football stuff that you got to do to improve, and I think they're on their way to doing that.
And you know what? They did need a new set of eyes on things. The John Elway, Matt Russell combination just had run its course. They unfortunately did misread a couple of really big situations in the last 5 years. They misread Paxton Lynch. Big mistake. They misread VJ. Big mistake. They misread the signing of Brock Osweiler, who had they've been grooming to take over. And if you really didn't believe in Brock, I mean, he was here for 4 years. You had plenty of opportunities to bring in somebody else because you knew Peyton Manning was retiring at some point. But they did keep Brock here, and then they just let him go away. But that was a big mistake. And they valued a pass rusher instead of a quarterback in 2018 in one of what has been proven to be one of the deepest quarterback classes in recent memory, very comparable to 1983, as we're going to see this weekend. And they misread that.
Wait, so you're telling me they should have taken Josh Allen?
Yes. Or Josh Rosen.
I'm just kidding.
Or Lamar Jackson. No. I'm going back to 2018. We didn't know what was going to happen. What we knew is...
Well, but now you're looking at that through the lens of hindsight now to talk about should have drafted that.
Nate, I was talking about this incessantly leading up to the draft. Well,
becoming more vehement about it based on how things have played out, right?
Nate, I was in front of like 500 people screaming, chub, chub, chub. And the second it happened, I said, that's a mistake. I had been talking about it literally for months up to that moment. I did not look at that situation in hindsight.
Chubb just made the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
Okay?
This is stunning that I have to tell you this.
No, I've heard this argument from you, D-Mac.
And Brandon McManus is saying the same thing about the best player available. The degree that a quarterback is more valuable than...
I've heard you say
All right,
this.
Then don't make me say it again.
But you're acting like Bradley Chubb is a piece of trash. He's a Pro Bowl player.
You're making me say it. You're going to make me say it.
Say it.
The value of a quarterback is so far above the value of any other player on the field, it's hard to calculate the difference. I'm not saying Bradley Chubb is a piece of trash. He may be the best quality guy at his particular position. That is miles below the value of a quarterback. That's the sport you chose to play.
It chose me.
It chose you. That is just where we are at in the NFL with quarterbacks. I didn't make it up. I didn't make up the rules. I didn't change the rules to make it that way. I didn't change the contract structure so that you get a bigger bang for your buck because you do have a fifth-year option and there is slotted salary so you cannot have a Sam Bradford situation again. So it's more affordable than ever to take a quarterback, so there's more chances taken on them. I didn't make up any of those rules. That's just what exists.
Yeah, but you do realize every year you have to make a lot of decisions about your roster and about players. It's not just the quarterback. You do.
No kidding.
And so you make a lot of choices. Sometimes they pan out. Sometimes they don't.
But nothing matters if the guy who's touching the ball the most can't play very well. It all goes out the window. Unfortunately, sorry.
You make a mistake, you course correct, and you try to get it right. So that's what they're doing, and that's what they've done.
Correct.
So Drew Locke's about to go into his third season. We don't know who he is yet. We're going to know after this next season, and he might just get that chance to show us. But I think...
Sure.
I think we got to give him the chance to show us.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. It's 5 o'clock. Well, you made it to the end of the week. Nate Jackson filling in for Tyler Columbus. If you're tuning in to get the latest on the Von Miller story, after the story came out about the police doing an investigation into potential domestic abuse, we have this afternoon seen that his ex-fiancée has put out a statement via Instagram saying Von had done nothing physical, nothing wrong, and that she regrets putting out the personal text between them, which to me would make this dead in the water. And why the Parker police decided to confirm that there was an investigation going on, I really don't know. I don't know. I don't think they have to put that out there. And I don't blame Nine News that broke the story for calling them up on a tip and trying to find out what was going on. They were just doing their job. But the result of it is, I really don't know what else is left in the investigation, although this has been a big-time story throughout the country because of the notoriety of Von Miller. And it really just, on the surface here at 5:02 on a Friday, appears to be a whole lot of nothing. So I'm happy to, you know, I don't know what else to say about it, Nate, aside from that.
Well, does that mean that, you know,
we've been going through this process this afternoon.
Right. Does that mean that in addition to maybe these, the Parker police not saying anything about it, maybe Nine News should have waited on that?
Oh, no.
Why not?
Because they reported an investigation, which was absolutely true. No, that Nine News did what they should have done. Nine News does, no, there's, they heard about it. They confirmed there was an investigation. That's what they said. They didn't say anything more than
but
that.
But like you said, you've never even heard a report about an investigation.
Yeah,
before.
Because so most people would not confirm that there's an investigation going on. Not that the media wouldn't report it.
But wouldn't the unusuality of it create pause with the entity that's reporting it?
I don't know one media outlet when they got that tip confirmed would not have reported it. They wouldn't be doing their jobs, in my opinion, if they just sat on it for that reason. No, I think Nine News did exactly what they should have done.
Even though it's proving to be a nothing burger.
No, they've reported every literal fact. There actually is an investigation going on. They never said anything more than that. They never made any judgments upon it. They 1,000% got the story right. It's two different things, in my opinion. Two different things. The reason you don't hear that is you really, I mean, I cannot even tell you who else would just confirm there's an investigation going on? Most times people would just say, we don't make any comments on ongoing investigations. So,
why didn't they say that?
I don't know. I don't know who runs the Parker Police Department. I have no idea. No idea.
I think there's a lot of information we just don't have.
Okay. I'd agree with you on that, but it's a story.
Yeah,
and Nine News did the right thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you see a statement from her, and I don't really know what's left on the investigation after reading what I read from her post. So I really, like you said earlier, I feel bad for everybody involved with this because it was an investigation. It wasn't a conclusion. There wasn't an arrest. There was nothing else to it. But you wouldn't know that if you look at social media or if you watch ESPN, you'd have a lot of people jumping to conclusions on this and, you know, assuming things that might not be true. So I think that sucks.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I was about to say that. It sucks that that's the state of the modern media. You know, it just runs. That kind of story just runs. Next thing you know, it's on every screen you have. And these two individuals have to deal with that part of this sad.
Yeah, well, maybe the Parker police should understand what the hell's going on then. By the way, I'm going to really watch myself driving through Parker later today. But it's not the Parker police, too. It's whoever the spokesperson is for the park. It's not the policemen. It's whoever. Forget. You know what? Let's move on. That's, I guess, where I'm going. I just want to, it's reasonable that people want to know what's happening. They're just tuning in. I get it. I understand it. I don't really want to dwell on it. All right?
Yeah, I agree.
That's that. Dave, you're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what a pleasure it is to talk to you. Last time we talked, you got mad at me and yelled at me. But...
Well, I yell at a lot of people. You're in good company.
Thank you. Hey, I was just thinking, I'm actually starting to come over to your quarterback 3-year rant over Mike.
Yeah, Mike has no theory. All Mike does is say why I'm wrong. He never proposes anything. By the way, let me shoot something down really quick, okay? And that is, okay. Mike has often said, I have said two things I've never said. Mike often says that I say you've got to move into the top five. I've never said it. I said you have to move up as high as you can. It just so happens in 2018, the Broncos were at five, but I was advocating them to move up to get who they wanted as the Bears moved from 3 to 2. Now, did the Bears make the right decision? Hell no. Why in the world would you pick Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes? That is football evaluation. And that's why GMs get paid millions of dollars, Dave, to be good at that. And guess what? If you get it wrong, your job should be in trouble, but you make a lot of money. So I didn't say take Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. What I said is you did the right thing to be in the position to make that choice. Mike has no strategy. Another thing he says is that D-Mac says take anybody. Untrue. But in 2018, I felt the quarterback class was so deep and the need was so great from the Broncos. You had five incredible candidates from which to choose from if you moved up high enough. And the Broncos sat there like idiots and watched the Jets move up to number 3 in front of them, doing a deal with the Colts like back in March, weeks before the draft. And the Broncos sat there and said, oh, Sam Darnold's not available, so I guess, you know, it sucks. I compared 2018 to 1983. Do you think the Miami Dolphins would have been disappointed if they got John Elway in the draft instead of Dan Marino? Do you think the Buffalo Bills would have been really bummed out if it was Dan Marino instead of Jim Kelly? No, there can be more than one great option any given year. But look at 2019. That year sucked. It was Kyler Murray and nobody. It was Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, and yes, Drew Locke, who went in the second round. That year was different. I believe right now, sitting here this year, there's 3 guys. And maybe, I mean maybe a 4th guy. Maybe. But every year is different. If I said pick anybody, Dave and Mike, then why wasn't I advocating for Kyle Uletta, Mike White, Luke Falk, or Mason Rudolph? That would have been anybody. All those guys were at the Senior Bowl, and I didn't mention one of them. Kyle Uletta was Mike's choice, and I believe he's working at an Arby's drive-thru right now. And I'm not lying. Look up Kyle Uletta's stats. Seriously. Do yourself a favor, profootballreference.com. Look up Kyle Uletta. You got something to say, Dave?
Here's my only thing I wanted to say. I don't think it would have mattered who of the Fab Five quarterbacks they would have drafted, because our player development here.
Oh, I hate this argument. I've heard this a million times. We suck so bad that we would have ruined incredibly talented athletes. And Dave, my man, thank you for the call, first of all, Dave. Nate, Dave, I believe in players first. I think coaches are important, but I believe in players first. And if you're special and you're talented, I believe you would overcome essentially bad coaching, especially, Nate, when you can run the football. If you're a quarterback like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, and you have the innate ability when things break down to actually run with the football, you're going to save some bad coaches' bacon. And you're going to give yourself enough time to figure out the rest of the NFL if you really have that kind of athleticism.
You're also going to have a shorter career.
Oh, okay. Who cares?
Well, you don't care?
No. Who am I?
What do you mean?
Am I a fan? Am I a coach? Or like, who am I in terms of the length of a guy's career? Who am I?
I mean, you're a coach.
I'm a coach.
You're wearing the GM hat.
Hey, dude, if I'm a coach, I definitely don't care. My job is freaking year to year, game to game. Has anybody checked out how long assistant coaches or coordinators stay in their jobs? Hell no, I don't care. I don't care about this young guy's length of his career I'm a coach.
When you're talking about your quarterback theories, you're wearing your GM hat, are you not? When you're talking about where to draft who and when?
Okay, sure, yes.
So you're not taking longevity into consideration when you're thinking about your quarterback?
Don't have time.
Don't have time.
I got 5 years. If I'm a coach, I have 1 year. If I'm a GM, I have 5 years. Okay. I have the length of a contract. So I really don't care about your career lasting longer than 5 years. I want to get 5 years out of you because I drafted you in the first round. Now, would it be great to get 15 years? Hell yeah.
A quarterback's not going to play his best ball in his first 5 years.
No. But by year three, you got to see a click.
Yep.
Because we have seen a click in 3 years. Look at this year. Look at the games in the AFC. I mean, it's preposterous. It's Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. And there's old man Rivers, and not Rivers, but old man Brady and Drew Brees over there. But it's also Jared Goff and, oh, my God, I'm forgetting. Oh, and, well, Aaron Rodgers, he's old, too. So the NFC is old. But look at what's happening in the AFC.
So do you prefer a quarterback who can run or a quarterback who's just kind of a Brady Brees guy?
The Brady Brees guys don't really exist anymore because college football is ridiculous and you just don't find quarterbacks like Brady Brees anymore. You really don't. I mean, you tell me.
Well, Stafford's sort of Brady Brees.
He's been in the league 12 years.
Well, you're advocating for him possibly.
No, hold on. Don't get it twisted about what might happen and what I'm advocating for. It's two different things.
I'm not twisting it.
I'm not advocating for it. Okay. I'm saying what might happen.
Okay.
Somebody reached out to me on Twitter, by the way, and were like, why are you making things up? And then I forwarded him like 9 different articles about Matt Stafford possibly coming to the Broncos. Not making it up. It's the Matt Stafford thing actually is in a... Hey, did Dan Campbell get hired to be the head coach of the Lions? Not yet? All right. If Dan Campbell gets hired to be the coach of the Lions, the likelihood of Matt Stafford leaving the Lions, Nate, in my opinion, goes way down. Dan Campbell is a NFL player who has got to be the largest assistant coach ever in the NFL and is the assistant head coach and tight ends coordinator for the Saints. So maybe that makes sense because they're still in the playoffs. but there are serious rumors that he's going to get the Detroit head coaching job. If that happens, that's a, in my opinion, that's an NFL guy. And even though Detroit has the number 7 pick, I cannot imagine he's going to spend that on Trey Lance or the 4th quarterback available, Kyle Trask or Ian Book or, I mean, you know, Mac Jones. I just think he looks, an NFL guy looks at Matt Stafford like, you know, most NFL people wouldn't be like, I got a guy. I'm going to build around him. Well, I'll make it work. It was somebody else's fault. Matt Patricia's fault. This team stunk, not Matt Stafford's.
That very well may be true.
So I'm not advocating for it. But I do like the fact that George Payton said, Nate, he was going to look at all possibilities. I mean, the crazy thing that's out there. Oh, man, I got to get your comment on this. Deshaun Watson today saying on a scale of 0 to 10 in terms of what he was upset by, DeAndre Hopkins was a 2. This current situation is a 10. Now, that is nuts. This doesn't happen. 25 years old, clearly a top, what do you want to say, 5, 6, 7 quarterback in the league?
Yep.
Healthy, with a huge contract, wants out? Teams should be falling all over themselves to try to get this dude. I mean, this doesn't happen. Happened to your guy, Jay Cutler, though.
It did.
Is he your guy or did you hate him? I forget how you follow
him. I would say he's in between my guy.
Okay.
And not like him. No, I don't.
Not your guy.
Right. I think Jay's a nice guy. Misunderstood. You know, we aren't best friends,
well,
but.
Let me back up a little. Were you on the team when all that went down?
No, I was gone by then.
Ah, you were gone.
When he got traded and everything?
Yeah, that was
McDaniels. McDaniels came in and cut a bunch of people and I was.
Did he call your parents to. Or Xander's called.
Xander's called my parents' house. Left a voicemail on their answering machine. That's how I got cut.
Sorry.
6 years with the Denver Broncos ended at my parents' house.
I shouldn't
on their bed pressing play on an answering machine.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what happened. So that's what happened when McDaniels came in. He kind of, you know, did his own thing. And then I called McDaniels because I wanted an explanation.
And?
And his secretary answered the phone, his buddy, and he said...
Was it Mark Thews?
Yeah, his buddy.
Okay.
I said, is Coach McDaniels there? He said, yeah, hold on a second. He went over and put me on hold. 30 seconds later, he came back. He said, he's in a meeting. He'll call you right back.
What year was that?
2009.
So we're going
still waiting for that call, Joshy boy.
Going on 12 years?
Yeah. No, he's going to call, though. He's going to call anytime. He's just busy, man. It's a long meeting. You know those football meetings. They take a long time.
They can go forever. You know, Mark is such a good guy, too. I really do like Mark.
Is he still there?
Yeah.
Wow, good for him, man.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
No hard feelings against him.
I hope you don't.
No,
I hope you don't. Because I think he was just put in some
ridiculous
situation.
To be honest, I no longer have hard feelings towards Josh either. He was 33 years old.
Yeah.
Coming in and taking over for Mike Shanahan, who ran the entire organization.
Yeah. You know, I was at a Super Bowl. I was lucky to be at a bunch, but I was at a Super Bowl that he was at, and he talked about his time as a head coach, and he actually admitted
the things that people don't know about what it takes to be a head coach is having uncomfortable conversations and looking at someone in the eyes and telling them that you're moving on from them, and here's why. That's important to a player at the end of his career. And so if you don't give him that moment, then you cast them off into the world angry, bitter, and confused as to why this happened. So it's a really important moment to have as a player to be able to get an explanation from the guy who's controlling your fate and tell you that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
To just not call back.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like getting ghosted
right
by your NFL career.
There's that sucks, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm not the only guy that happened.
Oh, no kidding. It ends... I always laugh when I see the crying end of career press conference. That always makes me laugh. Because.
Why does it make you laugh?
Because most guys just are like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't get a press conference.
They don't.
Yeah, they don't get everybody telling them how much they love them and, you know, the teammates sitting in the audience and all that.
No, they're crying alone in a dark basement.
Right.
And that goes on for quite a while.
Nate? Yeah, Mom. You just been cut by the Broncos. I hear there's something called the UFL.
Oof.
How's your hamstring doing?
Not good.
Right. You actually played in something called the UFL.
Oh, yeah?
I know, because I read your books.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that.
In terms of quarterbacks, then, to me, there's three different scenarios for the Broncos. So let's see which one you do favor. Now, these are concepts, not necessarily specifics, but I think there's three concepts. So which do you like best? One, you really do, you get Matt Stafford. You get a veteran, it would be, the guys that are like that are like Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, which, I mean, listen, if you can get Deshaun Watson, I don't think there's much to think about. In fact, he's probably in a category by himself. But just for the sake of argument, you get a guy like that. You get an established starter who has enough time that you know you're going to get at least 3 years, hopefully more. It is kind of like the Jay Cutler or Jake Plummer, sort of the Peyton Manning, although Manning's kind of in his own category because he's a legend. But it's kind of, let me just say it's like Plummer, okay? You just know you're going to get this guy for 3 or 4 years. You're going to hope the best. You think he's got a lot of NFL experience. That's what you're looking at. In that particular scenario, whatever happens to Drew Lock doesn't matter. You don't care about Drew Lock's development. I mean, heck, you may go out and draft a guy in the fourth round or whatever to see what he has. You know, I like Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M as kind of a developmental guy. Not necessarily your starter, your future, but a developmental guy. You never know. That's that one scenario. It's got nothing to do with Drew Lock. The second scenario is you go get a veteran to kind of compete with Drew Lock. But essentially, Drew Lock is going to have the ability to beat him out and probably should beat him out. It's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick down with the Dolphins and Andy Dalton. That's kind of the Andy Dalton type of quarterback. There's that story. But really, really, you know, you really think Drew Lock's going to sort of win that competition. And then you got a veteran backup. He's not even a bridge. He's some kind of like mentor or... We think we have a good team. We're going to play 17 games this year, which might happen. If we get a high ankle sprain out of Drew, who gives us the best chance to win? Not Jeff Driscoll, but Andy Dalton. There's that scenario. And then there's the bridge quarterback scenario, which I thought we were going to get in 2018 when they brought in Case Keenum. I mean, you couldn't really honestly think Case Keenum was the future long term, but okay, perfect bridge quarterback for your draft pick. And then you're sitting at 9 and you bring in Andy Dalton. And you do draft a quarterback at 9. You do. You make up your mind. Our guy's Mac Jones. And we think Mac Jones is going to be there at 9. And maybe we move up to 5, 6, or 7. I don't know. But we think that's the future. And then you get basically what you got out of Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, where it's the vet's job for a year. But we're going to Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. It's that kind of situation.
I like Tyrod Taylor.
All right. So those are the three. I see three different scenarios. Out of those three scenarios, unless you got another type of scenario, I mean, I guess there's the fourth. It's Drew Locke's job, and we're just going to keep Jeff Driscoll and not have any competition for Drew Lock. But nobody thinks that's going to happen.
Well, I think Brett Rippon's a better option than Jeff Driscoll.
Okay, all right, fine. But there's
so
that.
I think you can get rid of Jeff Driscoll, keep Brett Rippon on the roster.
Same thing. But there's no way George Payton got the GM job with that strategy, in my opinion. So
no. There's
four different strategies. Which one do you think is the best strategy to go forward?
So I'm in favor of like bringing in a Tyrod Taylor.
That would be the end. I love Tyrod Taylor too. That would be the Andy Dalton thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And then using that number 9 pick to get a corner.
Okay. Okay. And Tyrod, if you can beat out Drew Lock, hey. Okay.
And he would have sort of a, so I'm all for kind of adjusting the way we look at quarterback playing time.
Yeah.
Like the Dolphins have done with Fitzpatrick and Tua. When Tua was struggling, they put in Fitzpatrick to help him go win the game.
I love that too.
Don't be so
rigid,
sentimental about
right. Benching
a quarterback.
You got a problem there though, my friend.
If a running back fumbles twice in a game, what do? You replace him, right? And you put in
a different
running back. So if a quarterback is struggling in a game, you pull him out, you put another guy in. Tyrod Taylor would be that guy. Drew Lock.
I love it.
Give him next year to figure out if he's the guy. Draft Patrick Surtain, and there we go.
I love it. But you got a problem.
What?
Your coach ordered a hamburger at a steakhouse. This is The Drive on The Fan.